Now, it is a fact that unbelievers outnumber believers in Jesus Christ here in Malaysia. And this is true for most countries in the world today. Unbelievers outnumber believers in Jesus. Now, this should not be a surprise because the situation has not changed much since the time of Jesus. And that's more than 2,000 years ago. So we're going to find out some of the reasons why this is so by looking at the passage given for us this morning. We continue in our reading of the book of Matthew. We're now in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to 23. Now, this passage is a well-known parable of the sower. Many of you may be familiar with it. Now, from this passage, we're going to learn one main thing, and it's this. God can change a heart of stone into a heart of flesh when we let him. That's the main thing we're going to learn this morning. Now, I'll give you the outline of the sermon, and it's broken down into two sections. We have 23 verses, and I give you these two sections. The first section deals with teaching of the parable, and that is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. Then we have the second section, which is in verses 18 to 23, which is explaining the parable. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, open it to Matthew chapter 13. If not, I will give you scripture. It's also up on the screen. I read to you in verses 1 to 5. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Let's continue, verse 6. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, which it produced a crop. 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Verse 11, he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. And lastly, we have verse 15. For this, people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your ears, or your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Let's now go to the main points. We have the background. Now, it's always useful to have the background. Matthew, in writing his gospel, wanted to present to his readers an image of Jesus as the King of Israel. That's the big picture of the book of Matthew. Now, John the Baptist had proclaimed earlier that the kingdom of heaven was near. then Jesus began his public ministry by teaching powerfully what it meant to be part of the kingdom of heaven. He did his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, which we studied in chapters 5 to 7. Now, Jesus followed his teachings then with a series of miracles, which we had covered in the subsequent chapters from chapters 8 onwards. And the miracles revealed the powers of the kingdom of heaven. And now, in Matthew chapter 13, Matthew grouped together 7 parables by Jesus that taught about the kingdom of God. Now, a parable is based on a real-life situation that people can easily identify with, but it also has some deeper spiritual meanings. That's a parable. Now, let's look at the parable that Jesus taught, and that's in verses 3 to 9, where he gave this parable. Now, the parable of the sower is the first of these 7 parables that Matthew records and groups together for us. This parable is foundational in that it teaches how a person can get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus used a parable of a farmer sowing seeds. And this is a pastoral image that his large audience gathered around him would have been very familiar with. It's a setting of a farming community. Now, the sower or farmer represents, of course, God. And the seeds represent, therefore, the Word of God that includes the gospel message. Now, the 4 types of soil represents the conditions of the human heart. 4 types of conditions of the human heart. Now, let's look at verses 10 to 7, where the disciples question Jesus. Now, Jesus' audience could certainly relate to the parable about a farmer sowing seeds. It was a situation they were very familiar with. Now, the audience knew that seeds failed to thrive if seeds were not planted on good soil. But the deeper meanings of the parable were obviously not easy for the audience to grasp. The disciples thought this method of teaching was not good. So they asked Jesus in verse 10 why Jesus chose to use parables in his teaching. Now, Jesus explained from this point on, he would withhold further truth about himself and the kingdom of heaven from the crowds of people that were following them. Now, this was because Jesus saw that many had earlier rejected him as the Messiah. Just as Matthew had noted when we looked at Matthew chapter 11, verse 16 to 24. The crowds would not understand the deeper things that Jesus now needed to reveal about the kingdom, especially to his disciples. You see, the disciples were different. They had begun already to believe in Jesus, and they were looking to Jesus for proper teaching. And so thus, Jesus would teach them lessons, important lessons in parables, and Jesus would then explain the meaning of the parables to his disciples. From this point on, only the disciples would be given explanations to the parables, but not to the crowds. Now, Jesus then quoted from Isaiah that the crowds of people, they had hard hearts, calloused hearts, that hear but not understand, eyes that saw but did not perceive. And that's in verse 14. And because the crowds do not have, even what they have would be taken away from them. Now, many of us may be familiar with this parable, but I want to point out to you that in today's passage, we find the words hearing and the words listening used 19 times in this passage. When a word is repeated often in a passage, we should pay attention to that these words, hearing, listening. In the context of the passage, the listening that Jesus referred to was to listen to God as he gives out his word. So I'm going to give you the first key truth from this section. It's this. We need to allow God's word to work in our hearts. We need to allow God's word to work in our hearts. As an example, we all listen to someone or something. Some like to listen to the sound of their own voice. Some like to listen to gossips. Some like to listen to current news or the latest podcasts. Some listen with one ear and they forget what they are told because their minds were elsewhere. But all these acts of listening do not have any real eternal value. But when God sows his word, it is like a small seed, but it is a seed packed with life, with truth. And that seed will grow if we let it take root in our hearts. So we need to allow God's word to work in our hearts. Now, I want to pose you some questions. How do you respond whenever you hear God's word? Are you attentive or are you just half listening? Do you listen with an intention of applying God's word, or do you forget his word by the time you leave this hall for your lunch? Food for thought. Let's now continue. Let's look at the second section, which is interesting. That's in verses 18 to 23. I read for you verses 18 to 20. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed sown on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word, at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now let's look at the main points. The hard heart, that's in verses 18 to 19. Now the first type of soil refers to a hard heart. In the parable, in verse 4, the soil is hard because it had been walked on for years. Seed that fell on it cannot take root. And so the devil, in the form of birds in this parable, comes and snatches the seed away. Now, what is that like that makes hearts hard? There can be only one answer. That is sin. Sin makes our hearts hard. Now, I know someone who does not like Christians. Christians honestly make this man uncomfortable because he becomes self-conscious about himself. He becomes aware that when he swears or when he curses, when he makes crude jokes, he becomes uncomfortable when he does it in the presence of Christians. But rather than change and stop what he was doing, rather than to repent and turn to God, just like what the Christians did, this person chooses to turn away from God and from Christians. You see, he likes his sinful habits too much to let it go. So he hardens his heart God's word then falls on deaf ears because the heart is hard. In the same way, one of the reasons why people sometimes reject the gospel message when it's shared with them is because they have hardened their hearts and they are unwilling to submit to Jesus as Lord. When they hear the gospel, they may say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died for sinners, but I do not want to surrender and let him take control of my life. I want to be in control. I want to make my own decisions. I want to live my life my way. And such people prefer to listen than to the devil, than to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. And such people, they will oppose holiness and sovereignty of God over their lives. So that's the hard heart. Let's look at the second, which is the shallow heart. That's in verses 20 to 21. Now, the second type of soil describes this shallow heart. The soil is just a thin layer over rocky ground. So seed that fell on it may spring up quickly and just as quickly fade away under the strong sunlight. Now, Jesus said it was just like someone who received the word of God with joy initially, but it does not last long. It only lasts for a short while. Now, we come across people like that. They are attracted to church. Perhaps their friends brought them and they heard the gospel. They were attracted by it. They even said the sinner's prayer, but they face a problem. Some misunderstanding later on with another Christian. Perhaps it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's sickness or a broken relationship. And just as quickly when they embrace Christianity, just as quickly they will fall away. They stop coming then to church because they have never genuinely invited Jesus to take control of their lives. They have never genuinely asked him to come in as their Lord and Savior. Their faith was shallow and fell at the first sign of problems. Now, I know someone whom I shared the gospel with, and he said the sinner's prayer. He was trying to date at that time a Christian girl. At first, he was very enthusiastic, and he came regularly to church. But when he broke up with this girl, he also stopped coming to church, and we never saw him again. And it's been some years. Isn't that sad? There are also people who go to church to hear God's word, to try to learn some principles that they think would help them have their lives go more smoothly. And this could be in areas where the Bible teaches about the wise use of resources and so on. And they think that if they follow it, God will bless them and they will be successful financially. But instead, their business failed. And so such people conclude that there is nothing in the Bible left for them. Their heart was not to love and obey God, but to get God to give them what they want. So they come to church not to expect to seek God for who God is, but to seek God to get something from him. But when they do not get what they expect, they fall away, and these are people with the shallow hearts. It's true. I actually do know someone who once went to a church and prayed for some 4D numbers. Can you imagine that? He was flipping his Bible pages for some 4D numbers. And that's reality. There are people like that. So we come to the third part, which is in verse 22, the cluttered heart. The cluttered heart. Now, the third type of soil refers to a heart that is distracted and cluttered with other pursuits. Now, Jesus named two distractions, life's worries and wealth. Now, the people referred to in this parable may have taken God's word to their hearts, but their hearts are also filled with distractions that ultimately choke out God's word in their heart. Now, I know someone who considers himself to be a matured Christian, but he allows life's worries to clutter up his heart. He's concerned about his declining health and the health of all his family members. He's concerned about the state of politics in our country. He's concerned about how bad the economy is. And this results in some deep-seated anxieties. And he's always negative. And that drowns out all the promises of God that is found in God's word. You see, this man had allowed life's worries to be the major thorn that chokes out God's word and his power in his life. And it's no wonder he lives a life of defeat, and we don't often see him in church as it is. Now, I know another person, and by the way, it's not because of pandemic he's not in church. Even before the pandemic, he was already missing church. Now, I know another person who puts his faith on wealth as his chief source of security. Now, although he's a Christian, he sees his significance as someone who must have a successful career, must have a nice home, a nice car, and so on. But the business slowed down. The pandemic took a terrible toll on his career. His income shrank, and he fell behind in his mortgage payments, in his car installment payments. But he was reluctant to downgrade his lifestyle for fear that others would see him as a failure. Keeping up an appearance was important to him. You see, he had fallen into the trap of what Jesus called the deceitfulness of wealth. He couldn't sleep because he was worried about how he could pay off his debt. He also stopped coming to church. His troubles should cause him to turn to God more. But instead, he allowed his troubles to drive him away from God. He blamed God for his troubles and questioned why God allowed troubles to come to him. So this man's heart was cluttered. Now, the problem with wealth is that it does not choke us all at once. It is a gradual process. Like thorns in the parable, thorns grow gradually. The more thorns we have, the more distracted we become. So beware of thinking, I need to provide for myself now. I will think of spiritual matters when I have enough money in the bank, when I'm more financially secure. The sad thing about thinking like this is that there is never enough money in the bank, and we will always have something, we will want something more. So God and his word is pushed back and back into the background of our lives. Now in verse 23, we come to the open heart. The fourth type of soil refers to an open heart. It is an open heart that receives the gospel like good soil receives seed. Now the good soil leads to a good crop or harvest. It is a faith that receives God's word, obeys God's commands, applies God's word in our daily lives, and it takes note of all God's warnings. Such a life will bear much fruit. I know someone who received the gospel message with an open heart. She wanted to know more about God, so she read the Bible. She joined Bible studies. She was struck by the truth in God's word. She tried to apply God's word in her life. She eventually felt God's call to give up her good job and to join a Christian organization to serve God full time. And she eventually became a missionary, and she ran an orphanage overseas, sowing seeds amongst the children there. It is a seed that is bearing fruit 100-fold. So, what can we learn from this parable? Four things. The first thing, only a portion of the people will respond to the preaching of the gospel and to God's word. In this parable, 25% of the seeds fell on good soil. Only 25%. In Jesus' day, and in any age, only a portion of people will respond to the gospel. So we must not be surprised. We must not be discouraged. If we bring people to church or to gospel events and they do not respond to the altar call, we don't be discouraged. We don't give up. Instead, let us be encouraged that there is always a chance that some would respond to the gospel and to God's word when we invite them to church. We should continue to sow seeds amongst the children, whether it's in our Sunday school, physically or online, our homeschool ministry, our kindergarten ministry, our boys' brigade ministry, and so on, and our youth ministry, because some will respond and believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. The second thing is this. The only sure evidence of a genuine receiving of God's word and the gospel message is if a person's life bears spiritual fruit. Now, although we are all saved by faith in Christ alone, not by good works, that's what the Bible teaches, but the Bible also says a genuine Christian will always produce good works because it pleases God. A genuine believer will show fruits of the Spirit like patience, peace, kindness to others, and so on. There will be changes in their character and in their lives. Where there's an absence of fruit, it shows that that person may have never been truly saved. That's for God to decide, not for us to go around questioning people, all right? But there should be evidence of fruit. Now, the third thing is the presence of such fruit is what we should be looking for. Not the amount of fruit, any evidence of fruit is sufficient as an indication. You see, God has gifted us all to serve differently. So it's not about the amount of fruit, it's just the evidence of fruit. But all of us have at least one spiritual gift to use to serve the Lord. And the fourth point, the last point is this. The open heart is the only kind of heart that receives the preaching of the gospel message. It is not the hard heart, it's not the shallow heart, it's not the cluttered heart. It is the open heart, open to Jesus and Jesus' teachings that matters. So the question we should ask is, do we have an open heart? Have you allowed the teachings in the Bible to take root in the way you live your life? Have you turned your back fully away from sin, even hidden and private sins that nobody knows, but God knows? Have you placed your complete faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior and begun to show the fruits of the Spirit like gentleness, kindness, patience, love to others? You may say, no, not yet. I wish my heart was like that, but I'm afraid it is hard or shallow or cluttered by things of this world. What can I do? Is my case hopeless? The answer is no, it is not hopeless. It is true that none of us can change our heart, but there is someone who can do it for us. He is the divine farmer who's God. He can break up the hard soil. He can remove the rocks beneath the shallow soil. He can certainly remove the weeds and the thorns. We can put our hope in the Lord. He can turn our hearts of stone and replace them with hearts of flesh, just as he promised in Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 25 to 27. We don't have time to read it. You can read it for yourself in Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 25 to 27. And Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 also tells us, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. But the question is, are we willing to submit and let the Lord work in our hearts to change them into open hearts that will produce fruit a hundredfold? I want to give you this key truth from the second section. And it's this. God can change the hardest hearts if we let him do so. Now, I'll give you an example. Adoniram Judson Jr. Now, he was born in 1788 in Massachusetts, USA. He sailed for India as a missionary with his wife in 1812 when he was only 24 years old. He went to India from the US. A year later, in 1813, he was sent to be a Baptist missionary in Burma, now known as Myanmar. Now, at that time, it was regarded as an impossible posting because Burma was Buddhist, and the king of Burma would execute anyone who converted to a different faith. But Adoniram and his wife had faith in God that nothing was impossible for God to achieve. For the first 3 years of their time in Burma, they just focused on learning the Burmese language. By their fourth year, they were able to hold their first meeting. And 15 men showed up. And the men came, but they came because they were curious about the foreigners. But they soon lost interest. But Adoniram, he persevered, and he had his first convert 2 months later. That's his fourth year in ministry in Burma. He had his first convert. Now, it was not easy being a missionary, but Adoniram believed that God was in control. After 12 years, he had 18 converts. During the Anglo-Burmese War, between 1824 to 1826, he was in prison. He suffered greatly. He was sometimes shackled upside down. But Adoniram never gave up. He translated the Bible into Burmese. His wife died in 1826, just as the war ended. The British steadily took control over Burma, and Adoniram was able to spread the gospel, and more Baptist churches were started. He was blessed to ordain the first Burmese Baptist pastor in that nation. By the time of his death, Christianity had already taken a strong foothold in Burma, and his legacy continues to this day in Myanmar. God can change the hardest hearts if we let him do so. So, brothers and sisters, God can change a heart of stone into a heart of flesh if we let him. If you have a hard, shallow, or cluttered heart, will you let him change it into an open heart of flesh? Will you open your ears, listen to his word, embrace it, submit to it, apply it for eternal good, and bear much fruit? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word that challenges us all to have an open heart, to receive your word, and to want to apply it for eternal good. Help us to do this so that every one of us can bear fruit hundredfold for your glory. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.